I don't know about you, but I have a deep hunger for more of God this year. I just want more of Him. And I'm not saying this just because I'm hungry right now, but that's my desire. God, I want more of you. I want more of you. Hunger and thirst for you. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be fulfilled. God will satisfy your desires if you are hungry and thirsty for Him. He will satisfy it. He promised it. All right, praise the Lord, everybody. It's so good to be in the presence of God with you. And quite honestly, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you. This is the place to be. If you're new to Word of Truth, for those who are visiting, we often have a central theme. God gives us every year a central theme for all our activities, the things that we do, and that just begins to focus us on what God wants to do with us as a congregation or as a community. And this year, our theme is raising the standard, raising the standard. We live in a world where people are lowering the standards. We live in a world that is so full of compromise. Everyone is looking for the shortcut to something. Everyone is looking for the shortcut. And as a result, everyone is cutting corners and they lowering the standards. And that's the problem with the world and our nation included. But the thing is, many times we focus on the world and we forget that we are in the world. And many times because we are in the world, we begin to adopt the things of the world into the church. We allow them to come into the church and we also begin to lower our standards. And last week I was just challenging us that we need to raise our standard of Christianity. Can you say amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a higher level of Christianity from myself this year and from you as a congregation. We have to be Christians. Jesus said, if you are my disciples, by these things, or by this rather, the world shall know. So loving one another is not optional for us as Christians. You cannot be a Christian and not love. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. Because we have lowered the standard way too low that nowadays we're comfortable calling ourselves Christians and choosing our own behaviors. Jesus says, if I come into your life and I am Lord over your life, there are certain things that must come out of your life. And so in that vein, he started teaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and he started telling them some of the attitudes that we need to have as Christians. These are not negotiable. These are things that we need to have as Christians. Because if we are following Jesus, the people that see us must be able to recognize Christ in us. And so he's teaching his disciples that these things must be a part of our lives. And in the process, he begins to teach them some of the lost disciplines in the church right now. Christian disciplines that are no longer practiced in the church. And we say there are four key disciplines that we need as Christians to raise the standard on. And number one, I said last week, is fasting. Amen. You need to raise a standard. A Christian, if you are a born-again believer, fasting is not optional. We covered this last week. Jesus did not say, if you fast, like if you feel like. He said, when you fast. There comes a time when every believer must fast. And if you don't practice fasting, so when we do these corporate times of fasting and prayer, and we call the fasting and prayer, this is just discipline. We said last week that discipline will always triumph over desire. So when we call for 10 days fasting and prayer, this is not the only time you're supposed to fast. This is a time where you exercise the muscle called fasting. So that when you hear the Lord calling you to a personal fast, you're like, oh, I know what that is. But nowadays we have Christians that say, I have never been called to fast. Well, if you haven't been called to fast, first exercise the muscle. Discipline yourself. Join the fast. Amen. We have to be very serious about these disciplines. I said last week, fasting is turning our attention from the pleasures of this world so that we might fully focus on Christ. So that's what fasting is. Whatever you're doing, it must be turning your attention from the pleasures of this world. Fasting is fasting is sacrificing something of value to you in order to pursue what you value the most, God. Seek first the kingdom of God. When you refuse to fast, you are simply saying television is more important than God to me. You can say, yeah, that's not what I'm saying, but that's what your actions are saying. And actions speak louder than words. Like, oh yeah, I love God with all my soul. But when it's time to put it into action, remember the rich young ruler? Like, oh, I've kept all the commandments. Jesus says, let's see. How about going to give everything you've got? Like, oh, Jesus, I can't do that. And many of us will go around saying, I love God with all my heart. But put aside television for Jesus. Ah, yeah, pastor, I can't do that. Put aside one meal for Jesus. Ah, I can't do that. You love bacon more than you love Jesus. I'm just putting it out there. One of the things that needs to come back to the body of Christ is discipline. Everybody say discipline. Discipline. We have to restore discipline. You see, we are soldiers that are enrolled in an army. And if you look at the army, when you enroll in the army, I haven't been, but I've seen enough movies around these things. One of the things that they do is they need to take away your feelings. It's not about feelings. You have to learn to follow commands, and that's it. And so when they are drilling you, the real issue is not they are cruel. No, they are trying to save your life. Because if they send you to war and you don't know discipline, you don't have discipline, you are going to kill yourself, you're going to kill others. Destroy your own team. The Lord said to me, the reason why we have way too many wounded Christians in the body of Christ. How many of you can say amen to that? Everywhere I turn to, I find somebody who's saying, I used to do church, but yeah, church hurt me. And I said, why is this, Lord? God said, because you removed discipline. Have you ever seen a soldier that say, I used to be in the army, but they hurt me. They took away the feelings. They broke away all those feelings so that this person is not offended when you give them a command. The reason why you are offended in church is because we have lowered the standard of Christianity to make you feel good in church. We have made church a place where you come for one reason and one reason alone. Everybody must make me feel good. If I don't feel good in that church, I'm not coming back. We go to churches, we church hunt, looking for a place where we feel good. What sort of soldier are you? In the army, if we say we're going left and you've got a little flu, you don't say, I'm not feeling well. Soldier, we're moving. The reason why Christians are going around, no, I've been hurt by the church. We removed discipline from the church. There's no more discipleship. We no longer bring in people to church and tell them that you need to die to self. We come to church to resurrect self and flesh. The olden days, when I said yes to Jesus, the pastor's responsibility was to make sure you're dead properly. For all the Zimbabweans, we used to call it shantology. Shantology is shanda, from working on you. They developed a whole word, theological word, where the pastor says, I'm working on you, shantology. Amen. Working on you. You come here with all you with your makeup. The pastor says, today you are going to wash the toilets. Amen. Amen. Wanna see how dead you are? Hey, pastor, you know, my nails just got done. Yeah. Nah. We've got ashes for that. Who said? We've got Christians for that, not ushers. If you're a Christian, when you report for duty, you report for duty. But we have lowered the standard. I come to church so that everybody else has the duty to make me feel good. I don't like that worship song. It wasn't for you. We were not worshiping you, we were worshiping Jesus. Now, I'm not coming back to that church because they are worship. I don't like their style of worship. No, we're not worshiping you. If you want to worship Jesus, join in worshiping Jesus, because we did not gather, we did not rehearse, we did not practice, we did not put on this whole set just so that you can feel good. We put this whole set so that we can give God glory. Today, I'm talking about when you pray. When you pray. When you pray. Not if you pray. If you are a Christian and you are committed to following Jesus, prayer is not optional. It's amazing that on Sunday, the church gets full. Come on Wednesday. Come on Tuesday. Come Sunday night. Tonight, let those who have ears hear. We're going to have prayer. We've been having prayer. If you didn't know, I know you switch off when it's time for prayer announcements. But we've been having prayer from day one. At 5. We've been having prayer for an hour. We've been watching and pray. Jesus says, could you not watch and pray with me? Ah, Pastor, I can't pray. Jesus went to his disciples. Disciples struggling to stay awake in prayer. 3 times Jesus came to wake them up and say, pray. He didn't say, let them sleep. I heard the Lord say, the problem with the churches as pastors, we're like, oh yeah, those who want to pray, and we let the others sleep. Jesus, if you read the account properly, 3 times he came back to his disciples, checking whether they were praying. He would go aside and he would start praying, and he's praying and he's praying. He's like, let me go see if my followers are praying. And then he comes to them and he finds them asleep. He's like, guys, wake up. Pray. And he went back and he did it 3 times. And God said to me, Pastor, what type of pastor are you? If you are happy with only 10 people showing up in a prayer meeting and you're not going to wake up the rest of the congregation, why are you not coming to pray? Why don't you pray? You are a Christian, you pray. That's what we do. One of the most important things that we need to do as Christians is pray. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit upon me this morning. We have to pray. It's not optional. It's not like if you can pray. You see, we have relegated prayer to intercessors. I am not an intercessor. Who said prayer is for intercessors? Yes, they are intercessors and intercessory gifts. But prayer is for Christians. Not intercessors. I'm not part of the intercessory team, so I don't come for prayer. Are you not a Christian? Christians pray. So when Jesus is teaching his disciples, in fact, of all the things that the disciples asked to be taught, they asked to be taught how to pray. Nowadays in church, we ask the pastor to teach us everything but prayer. How can I preach? How can I be part of this worship team? How can I get that microphone? How can I be the one in front of these lights? I want everybody else to see what I can do up here. But how about coming secretly and say, Pastor, teach me how to pray. Amen. And when Jesus taught them to pray, he didn't send them to Bible college. He didn't give them a book. Amen. He said, when you pray, say. And he says, let's do it. And he started praying. You want to learn to pray? You don't go read a book. Come to a prayer meeting. I'm helping you. Like, oh, I'm still learning how to pray. Where are you practicing prayer? We need to see you in the prayer room, because that's where you learn how to pray. When I said yes to Jesus, the pastor who was discipling me says, I will see you on Thursday. I'm like, for what? Pray. Like, oh, you are a Christian? You come on Thursday. That's how I learned to pray. So I get there on Thursday, I'm looking, what are they doing? Okay, all right. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, okay, this is what happens here. All right. Fourth week, I'm also trying what they are doing. I'm like, oh, okay, okay. So these guys, so now when you come from the church I came from, the Zimbabwean style, you know, one of the things that I had to learn when I got here was to pray sitting down. I always say these things. I learned this. It was learned behavior. It was strange for me the first times I got to Port Alfred. Like, we're having a prayer meeting and we take chairs and we sit down. Like, oh, this is a type of prayer. Okay. I'm not saying it's not important. You can pray anyhow. But for me, because when I went, when I was a born-again believer, a new convert, I mean, when I went to church, I saw people marching. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. So there was no room to ask, what's the theology of marching? That's what these people do. Yeah. 2 hours later, you're nice and sweaty. Yeah. Amen. I went to a prayer meeting. No wonder why we can pray all night prayers. Because have you ever tried praying all night sitting on your chair like this? You're going to be like. But when you are shanderebo satarabababa. Thank you, Jesus. You don't fall asleep. You don't fall asleep. You check that. Oh, it's 3 hours later. That's how we learn to pray. And I'm not saying it's superior than any other way of prayer. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is I learned that not by being taught. Just go into the prayer room. And if you are here and you're like, Pastor, I want to learn how to pray. Show up tonight. Just show up. Won't it be amazing for all those 50 odd people that were coming for prayer? Won't it be amazing to have the whole church like this for prayer meeting tonight? Amen. Why is it that it's important for you to come here, but it's not important for you to pray? You don't understand the significance of prayer. Let me tell you, as a Christian, the most important thing that you can ever do with your time is pray. Prayer is so important that Paul says you must pray without ceasing. You haven't even started. He says, don't stop. You see, Paul's teaching to the New Testament church was not like, oh, guys, you must start praying. It's like, no, you must not stop praying. But when we come to this day's church, we have to tell you, it's time to start praying. Paul is like, I know you're already praying because you are followers of Jesus. Just don't stop. Just keep praying. But to a church, a modern day church, we have to say, when are you going to start praying? James 5 verse 13. It says, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Hey, I heard the Lord say to me, there is some prolonged suffering that you are going through just because you're not praying. Let me carry on. If anyone is suffering, let him pray. He didn't say, ask the pastor to pray for you. He didn't say, send a prayer request and let them put it on the prayer chain. Because I can't pray. You know me, I can't pray, so I just ask others to pray for me. No, that's why you have prolonged suffering. If anyone is suffering, in your suffering, pray. Some of the suffering that's coming your way may be just to teach you to get down on your knees and pray. He's tried to get you to a church that has prayer meetings weekly and you're not praying. And he's like, maybe if we bring some suffering. Tell your neighbor, don't prolong your suffering. Pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. Then he goes on to say, if anyone is sick among him, let him call for the elders and let them pray. Now, this is where he says you call others. But when you're sick, when you're down and out, Not like, oh, I've got a little flu. No, when you're down and out. And this thing is now heavy. That's when you say, hey, I'm part of a body with elders. Elders, please come. And when they come, the Bible says they will come and they will anoint you and they will pray a prayer of faith and you will be healed. Hey, the media team is on point, not giving up. Love that. Love that. Well done. Well done. Whoever did that, amen. Let them pray. Let them pray. Call for the elders. The answer is prayer. Then he goes on to say, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of righteous men avails much. I want you to know this. Your prayers avail much. The righteous is not a unique type of people. The righteous is a Christian. If you didn't hear it, this is a place you say amen. The righteous is not the pastor. The righteous is not the elders. The righteous is not the deacons. The righteous is not somebody you think have been a Christian many years. The righteous is a Christian. Amen. We are all made righteous by the blood. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, you are the righteous. So when he says the effective fervent prayer of the righteous man, he's not talking about a particular man. He's talking about a Christian. The one that has Jesus Christ inside of them. The one who became righteous because he became sin. You and me. Your prayers avail much. Much. Never underestimate the significance of your prayer life. Even if you can just say two words, it avails much. So when you come to corporate prayer meeting, it's not like, can I pray like so and so? No, just come and pray your prayer. It avails much. Because like, oh, when I come, I don't know what to pray. No, say two words. You know, if you don't know how to pray, you walk next to somebody who's praying. Like, this is how I learned how to pray. Marching alongside who's praying. Shanderebo sokorabasha. Okay, I'm listening. Oh, they're thanking Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for righteousness. I thank you, Jesus, for my righteousness. Yes, Jesus, I thank you. They're now praying for holiness. I thank you for holiness. I thank you for holiness. It's still prayer. And every time you get stuck, you just say, yes, Jesus, amen, amen. You are praying. But when you're at home watching television, you're not praying. But when you're in a prayer room agreeing with somebody, you're learning how to pray. And even that avails much. I wish I had time to tell you about people that saw breakthroughs by just praying two words. Jesus, have mercy. Jesus comes through. Like, where was the theology? Where was Father, I thank you because you are the Lord of this? And no, it was just like, Jesus, have mercy. Son of David, have mercy. That's a prayer that saved somebody. Life completely changed. One shout. Your prayers avail much. Not somebody else, your prayers. They avail much. You see, the problem is we have allowed the enemy to deceive us, and rightfully so. If I was the devil, if I wanted to keep you from being effective as a Christian, I'll look for the most powerful thing in your walk and your arsenal and just keep you away from that. It's okay for you to come to church on a Sunday morning if I was the devil. I'm like, let them go. They're just going to hear the word and they're not going to do it. They're going to forget. But when they come to pray, the fact that they just showed up in prayer meeting, I'm in trouble. It's danger. Because if you just show up and say, devil, the blood of Jesus against you, whoo, the whole of heaven is now working. So the devil says, I will rather keep you at home doing everything else than in a prayer meeting, discovering how powerful you are. The rabbis of old used to say God does nothing unless it is in response to prayer. Like God, who's sovereign, who can do everything all by himself, is waiting for you to ask him to do it. It's like, why? Because God wants to partner with you. He loves you so much that he says, I want you to be a part of what I'm doing on the earth. And the only way that can happen is through prayer. Everything that we do as Christians must start in prayer. That's the birth and place of the will of the Father. Jesus, before you went to the cross, you could have just walked to the cross, but it's like, I need some time to pray. Like, Jesus, you are Jesus. You must be ready for this. All your life you've been preparing for this moment, but it's like, I need to go and pray before I go to the cross. Nowadays we have pastors that just need to come to the pulpit before they even go to a prayer room. Help me, Lord. Deliver me. We have Christians that are happy to call themselves Christians, but they don't know a prayer room. Jesus says, I can't do this without prayer. I need to pray. And the Bible says he prayed and his sweat was like blood. He intensified his prayer because he realized the need. This year, if you want to raise the standard, intensify your prayer life. If you are praying 10 minutes, try 15. My wife says, we're done with 15. The very least, come on, let's pray for an hour. Come to a prayer meeting. You're like, oh yeah, I'm still working until 5. I know prayer meeting starts at 5. Come at 5:45. If the prayer meeting was at 3, we move the prayer meeting to 3, you don't show up. Another meeting comes. So here's what you do. I'm still working. Yeah. But you finish at 5. You can only get here at 5:45. Show up and say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I'm here. Yes, Jesus, I'm here. Stop making excuses for not praying. Amen. Just start praying. So he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Then he goes to tell us about Elijah was a man of like passions or like nature. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Let's go. And he prayed again and the heaven gave rain. And the earth produced its fruit. Prayer will cause rain to fall. Prayer will cause the earth to produce fruit. Prayer will cause your life to be fruitful. Amen. There's some things that you want to see in your life that will not manifest until you start praying. Not somebody praying for you, no, just praying. Like, earnestly, going before God and say, God, I really need to see this happening in my life. And things will begin to happen. How serious? You know, again, we're coming back to last week. Desire is great. Where's the discipline? Oh, I want to be a better Christian. Where's the discipline? Come and pray. Very quickly, I want to look at Elijah's prayer because I want to challenge you and then give you some practical steps on how you ought to pray. Let's go to 1 Kings 18. The Bible says, then Elijah said from verse 30, you know the whole story. This is when he's got the prophets of Baal up the mountain, Mount Carmel. And they've been having this showdown. And for the bigger part of the day, the prophets of Baal were cutting themselves, doing all their rituals, crying to their God, and nothing was happening. Let me tell you this. When you pray to the true God, God always answers. When you're not praying to the right God, you can waste your time. So Elijah is waiting. He's like, okay, you guys do your thing. You want to go to Scientology, you want to go to Sangomas, you want to go to whatever you go to, horoscopes. It's like, do. The whole day, he's just chilling. Like, do whatever you need to do. Let's see if those things will answer. They did not answer. Then this is what he then says. Verse 30. Then Elijah said to the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, this year we need to repair the altar of prayer. Whatever your altar looks like, it's your personal place of prayer. It's your heart towards prayer. Some of you have got a broken altar in your own heart. Like when you hear prayer, like, nah, I don't pray, it's not for me, this doesn't work. It's a broken altar. And you have to first repair that. So he calls the people and he says, let's repair the altar. And he begins to repair that. And he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with these stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. Then he put wood in order. He's getting ready for prayer. Everything. He cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill the pots with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. In other words, it's like, let's make it even difficult. You know, like you want to start a fire. You know, have you ever tried to start a fire with wet wood? It's like difficult. Like, I want to start a fire. It's like, the wood is too dry. It's going to be easy. If God is going to be God, let's make it difficult for God. Get some gallons of water. Just soak the whole thing, because my God, when he answers, he's going to answer in such a mighty way that he's going to first consume all the water and then set the wood alight. It's like, let's make it difficult. We made it easy for your gods and your gods could not do it. But we're going to make it hard for my God, and then I'll pray. Can you see the confidence that we should have when we come to pray? Amen. The Bible says Elijah was a man like you and me. A man of like passions. So it's not a special anointing. Don't say, oh, you have to be a prophet. No, the Bible's told us in James, he was like you and me. He just said, I really believe in the power of prayer, so we're going to make it hard. And he said, do it the second time. Like, once is not enough, do it again the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, a third time. Like, they must have been now looking at him like, dude, the first time was enough. But now, he says, no, the third time. And they did it the third time. So water ran all around the altar and also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That's very, very important. These notes, just stay with me. I'm going to be very quick when I give you the points. But that's important. There was a time of prayer. And that time of prayer, the Jewish code was, there was a morning prayer, morning sacrifice, and there was the evening sacrifice. So Elijah was watching. Like, it's not yet 5 o'clock yet. Let's keep making it difficult, because I know that when I get to the prayer meeting at 5:30, can you be so confident that when you come to a prayer meeting, you're like, something is going to happen? It's like, I've been practicing, because remember the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice is the ritual that was teaching them how to worship and pray and all those things. That was exercising the muscle. But now, he says, I have exercised my prayer muscle for many, many years, that I know that at 3 p.m., because that's the evening sacrifice, at 3 p.m., if I call upon Jesus, he's going to show up. He might not show up now, but in the hour of prayer, he will show up. So he waited for that hour of prayer and he cried out. Then Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell down. He didn't pray for 20 hours. He didn't pray. He just prayed a couple of words, and the fire of God came down. Never underestimate a few words out of your mouth. Because you are as powerful as Elijah. Because Elijah was just as powerful as you. If we take it to the New Testament, you are actually greater than Elijah. Because if Elijah did it without the Spirit of the Holy Spirit that now dwells in you, why are you underestimating your few words? He didn't pray the whole day. Just said a few words and fire came down. And I heard the Lord say, if you knew that you are that powerful, you would spend most of your time praying, just declaring things, and things begin to happen. And fire fell down. Now, very quickly, these are the steps. I don't have time to expand, but these are the steps. Number one, prayer must become a priority in your life. If you want to raise standard in prayer, make prayer a priority. It's not optional. It's when you pray, not if you pray. Today, you have to decide, I am going to make prayer a priority. I don't know what you prioritize in your walk with Jesus, but I'm telling you, right at the top, should we pray? Like, I pray. I want to go and speak with the Father. When Jesus was on earth, he always made time where he secluded himself and he prayed, which brings me to the second point. So you prioritize prayer. It's like, it's not optional. It's a priority. It's a must. Then number two, you need to set aside time to pray. Like I told you, in the Jewish system, there was a morning sacrifice. There was an evening sacrifice. Morning sacrifice was 9 a.m. Evening sacrifice was 3 p.m. To this very day, go to Israel. It happens. Morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice. It was a discipline. When you read Daniel introduced a third prayer point. He kind of like three times a day he would pray. You need to set times or a time for prayer. The reason why you are not getting better in your prayer life is you haven't set time for prayer. You've got time for everything else but not prayer. Set aside time for prayer. That when you know, like for me, no matter what I'm doing, I know that on Tuesday 5:30 there is a time set for prayer. That's for the corporate prayer. But on a daily basis, I have to put my own time for prayer. If you don't have the time for prayer, you're not going to pray. Set time to pray. And I'm not saying set an hour, but set the time. I'm going to spend 15 minutes in prayer. Jesus, throughout his time here on earth, would always seclude himself from the disciples and he would go to some solitary place and pray. Sometimes it was all night. Sometimes it was just, we're told that he's coming down the mountain from praying. We don't know how long he was praying. But in his life, no matter how busy his ministry got, he always made time to pray. And if Jesus recognized that he needed to do it, Jesus did not need to do it. Because he was one with the Father. But he was showing us what keeps him one with the Father. Staying in touch with the Father. Set time for prayer. Oh, I wish I had time to just go down this rabbit hole. Because I had in my spirit, the Lord just dropped. That do you know that if you read the New Testament, most of the miracles happened in the morning time of prayer and in the evening time of prayer. Holy Ghost came down in the evening sacrifice. Day of Pentecost. The man who was healed on the gate called Beautiful, the Bible says Peter and John on their way to pray, the hour of prayer, miracles happened. Throughout the Bible, things happened in the hour of prayer. You want miracles to happen? Where's the hour of prayer? Where are we doing the prayer of saying, God, we desire more of these things? Number three. So, you said you prioritize prayer, you set time for prayer. Number three, you must have a place of prayer. So for us as a church, every week we've got a place where you can come and pray. If in your house you pray next to your bed, if you kneel down, just do it consistently, regularly. You'll find that every time you look at that place, it reminds you you need to pray. I'm helping you. These are just practical steps. You can pray. You can pray while you're driving. I pray when I'm driving. When he says pray, well, just don't close your eyes. Amen. You know, pray without ceasing. You can pray anyway. But what I'm saying is, when you set a specific place, it says go into your closet. Do you have a closet for prayer? Do you have a place where you say, I pray anywhere in the house, but here, it's my special time with God. Said that Jesus used mountains. He loved to go up the mountaintop and pray. and all the Zimbabweans know the story of mountains. I tell you, in Zim, right now, when we talk of 10 days of fasting and prayer, there are some people that are living on top of a mountain. No, I'm just telling you facts. It's another level of Christianity. They have left their houses because TV is a distraction, cooking is a distraction. They just went up the mountain and they stayed there. No, it's happening now as I speak, because I know I was part of that kind of crew. Go lock yourself somewhere. 40 days and 40 nights, you don't go back home. And when you come down from that mountain, you are like Moses. There's a glow. Everybody like, wow. Yeah, I've been with Jesus. Nowadays, we can't even put time aside for 30 minutes. Somebody is living on the mountain right now as we speak. They're raising a standard. And you wonder, why am I not seeing the power of God? Where is your standard? I'm just asking. Number four. Have a strategy, a prayer plan. I'm helping you. This is very, very important. You need to have a prayer plan. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray, he gave them a plan. And he says, this is how you pray. This is the strategy. Pray like this. And this is a quick strategy. You can adopt it. Jesus says it's so powerful. Number one, this is under this have a strategy. He says, when you come to the prayer room, praise God, hallowed be your name. You know, you're like, I don't know how to pray. You surely can say, God, you are holy. That's the strategy that Jesus taught the disciples. Like, don't worry about what to say. Just start by hallowing his name. Number two, he says, pray that his will be done. His kingdom come. Focus on something that is greater than you. This is how I learned how to pray. I didn't know what to pray. It's like, just thank you, Jesus. Hallowed is your name. You are so holy. And he says the second thing, your kingdom come, your will be done. And my pastor used to say, pray for something other than yourself. That's kingdom. Father, I pray for the church. I pray for my sister. I pray for my family. I pray. You think in kingdom. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. And then you start inviting the will of God. Number three, after that, you pray for provision. He says, give us this day our daily bread. You all have got needs, don't you? So you can pray. If you have a need, you can pray. You can come to God and like, God, I just don't have money to pay my rent. Won't you do something? Amen. Let's pray. Then after that, he says, forgiveness, pardon, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Just, God, you know, that person offended me on Sunday. The pastor was preaching too hard. I didn't like the way he was, you know, yeah, the way he was communicating. He was too boastful. But help me to forgive him. And your prayer life is actually going to become better. Amen. That's how you do it. And then he says, so you pray for forgiveness. And he says, pray for power. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Like, acknowledge that, God, you have the power for everything. Everything. And you acknowledge him. And here's the thing. I once heard a preacher say, Jesus said, pray that you'll not fall into temptation. Part of the reason why too many Christians are falling into temptation is because they've stopped praying. If you were praying more, the things that are tempting you now, you'll be stronger than them. Amen. But you're not praying. That's why you're falling. The reason why you keep falling in the exact same sin, trap, habit, is you're not praying. Jesus says, just pray. And if you pray, you will not fall into temptation. I'm helping somebody. Then lastly, he says, yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Give him the glory again and you'll be glorified. Through the last slide, there's one thing that I discovered this year. Just the last slide. I think I've got a scripture there. And I want to end with 1 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse 23. This is when Saul is made king and Samuel is praying. Long story short, there's this statement that I read this week and it messed me up. Samuel is after he's telling the nation to do all the right things, he says, moreover, as for me, Samuel, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I said, God, did Samuel consider it a sin not to pray? And I heard the Spirit of the Lord said, yeah. The New Testament is full of scriptures that say, pray without ceasing. And when you stop praying, when you cease to pray, Samuel says, it's a sin. There's silence in the Presbyterian church. Okay, I've closed my notes. Could it be that we have underestimated the significance and the importance of prayer? God wants us to have intimate moments with Him. Stand with me. I don't want you to come to a prayer meeting just because you feel guilty. But I felt the weightiness of this scripture. That if you're in ministry, if I ever cease praying for you guys, I'm actually sinning against God. The Bible says we must pray for one another. When you stop praying for one another, you actually sin against God. Because here's the thing, if we prayed more for one another, we would not sin against one another. I'll be more in tune of the will of God for your life and doing the right thing towards you than when I don't pray for you. Husband and wife, when you pray together, you are more in tune with your spouse. If you don't pray together, you easily offend or sin against one another. Heavenly Father, I pray for this word. May it not return to you void. May it accomplish that which you've sent it for. Lord, I pray that today we will awaken to the importance of prayer and the power thereof. Father, you said our prayers avail much. I thank you, O God, that all of us in this sanctuary have got the ability to avail much through prayer. Help us, O God, that this year we will avail much as a church. That as we're thinking of raising the standard, we would raise the standard of prayer. That our prayers will begin to avail much. That we'll begin to pray for the things that you've called us to do. We begin to pray for one another more. And that, Lord, we will see more of your power, more of your miracles in our church, in our community, in our lives. Father, I pray, may prayer become a priority once again. That, Lord, like the saints of old, we will do everything in our power to gather for prayer. I'm even reminded right now, oh God, how Peter was miraculously delivered in the hour of prayer. Father, I pray that we may be that church that will see miraculous things happening because we value the hour of prayer. Father, I pray that more and more of us will say yes to this call to just set aside time and prioritize spending intimate quality time with you. Father, let it be this year, not next year, this year. Help us to raise the standard in this area, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Whilst we are in the moment of prayer, I just had a sense earlier on this morning that we need to pray for Mrs. Payne. Please come. She is the principal of our school. For those who don't know it, we have a Christian school called El Shaddai, and she has led that school since inception. I want all the elders to come. We just want to form a hedge around her. There is so much that is coming through the Ministry of Education, so much that would make the hair stand on our backs, so much that is antichrist. And it's difficult to be Christian in a world that is antichrist. So we just want to stand around her. And all of us, can we just stretch our hands to her and believe as a church that God has called us to occupy a certain space in the mountain, on the mountain of education. and that it's a footprint that we are leaving on the continent of Africa. So, Father, we thank you for Mrs. Payne. We thank you, Father God, for giving her the grace to lead, the grace, Father God, to be a pioneer for a school, that, Father God, we will answer the call to education where there is so much need for schools in the Eastern Cape, that as a church, we answered that call by starting a Christian school. So we now ask Almighty God that may you cause it to become a fortified city where there is so much that is coming against the ministry, against education, where the enemy is after our children and is trying to indoctrinate them in the ways of this world that are antichrist. I pray, Father, that you give her the boldness of a lion, that she will stand strong, that she'll be willing to go against the grain, that she will not be wary of well-doing, that, Father God, she will not be anxious, that, Father God, she will not grow tired, but, Lord, she will be anchored in you, and that you will sustain her. Father God, I speak to her inner man. I speak to her spirit. And I say, be lifted up, all ye gates. Be lifted up, all ancient doors. And let the King of glory come in. The Lord who is mighty in battle. I pray, Father God, in seasons past, where it's been difficult to do certain things, that, Father, you open the doors. You open the gates. That in this year, oh God, a standard will be raised in our school. In the mighty name of Christ Jesus, that every child who comes to that school will know the Lordship of Jesus and will say yes to Jesus, where many of the kids are coming from homes that are rife with ancestral worship, with pagan worship, and all sorts of antichrist, that, Lord, they will see the light of Jesus. They will see the kingdom of God come into their home. I pray, Father God, that you may give a new strategies. I pray, Father God, that you may give her wisdom, that you may give her understanding, that you may give her knowledge more than she has ever had, that, Father God, she'll press on, she'll march on in strength, in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that our school will be built, that the land that we have bought, we will build on that land, that you supply what is needed, because the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to you, O God, where the land has been lying fallow because there are no funds, that, Father God, we are breaking ground this year. We are going to break ground and start building phase one in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, that our school will be a beacon of light in this province, that our school, Almighty God, will bring hope, will bring life in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. So we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in Jesus' mighty name.
Lord, even now we also just speak to any remnant in her mind that is not of the mind of Christ. Any remnant, even now we say, no, conform to the mind of Christ. So that, Lord, she will have the blueprint of heaven. So that she's going to be a pioneer in the education field. I pray, Lord, for glory on this school. Glory on every teacher, Lord, as they like a wake of a boat, like they're the beginning of the wake. They're the start. They're that V formation. Lord, that they will be the pioneers. We ask, Lord, for this new wineskin. We pray, Lord, for to shatter, we ask today in this place. We ask that you would shatter every old wineskin structure, every old model of this is the way education is done. And Lord, that she will get the blueprint from heaven to forge forward with an education system, with first within this school, Lord, and then spreading further afield, an education system that comes from heaven, so that the children are touched, the people, the teachers are touched, and even the curriculum is touched. Father, we pray for the strength to defy everything that comes down, whether it's from the government, from anywhere else, Lord, from the mind of man, everything else, that for the strength to defy everything that is contrary to you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. This is what happens when we begin to prioritize prayer. God will begin to give us individuals to pray for in a moment. And so this is just, I love the way the service ended. We ended in prayer. We're not just talking of praying, we pray. We pray for one another. maybe perhaps the breakthrough that we need to see in the school is because it has been pending because we're not praying for the school. And when we begin to prioritize these things and go back to the Father and begin to know that our prayers avail much, I may not have a million rand to build the school, but I have prayer and my prayers can avail much. And when we begin to do these things, we're going to see God come through in power. Amen. I want to close with this. I want you to remember, if you forget everything else, your prayers avail much. They say in astrophysics, if a butterfly flips its wings somewhere in America, it can change the atomic configuration of the atmosphere here in South Africa. A butterfly. Never underestimate the significance of your prayers. You might be the weakest, the youngest, whatever. Was it yesterday? Day before, we had, what's the name? Tahila. We were praying, and we all got quiet. All the adults got quiet, and we've got Tahila. Tahila came and said she wants the mic. Took the mic. Just, I love Jesus. She's 4 years old. That little prayer moved something in the heavens. After that, we even had prayer points around that. Because never underestimate the power of your prayer. You are powerful. Pray. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious towards you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace all the days of your life. And all God's people say it. Amen. God bless you.